Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. I hope everybody's having a good morning so far. Get in. I'd like to welcome any first-time visitors that we might have this morning. Glad you could be with us today. Do we have any announcements this morning?
Yes. The women are, we are planning to go, well, we don't have the place yet. We had two places in mind. One of them is also Puckett's Grocery, but that's going to be a cover charge on Friday night. So we'll probably change the place, but the date is still the same. And if you are interested in going out with the women on Ladies' Night, it is going to be February the 22nd. And I have sign-up sheets right out in the vestibule. So we'd love for you all to, it's so much fun. It's a good time of fellowship as well.
I have an announcement. Building Strong Families workshop starts this afternoon from 4:30 to 6, and there will be child care provided. And read this. Join us for fun, enjoyable time as we learn how to blend differences into close-knit relationships, how to pass our faith to our children, our grandchildren, and to learn how small things can make a difference in our lives. So this 8-week series that starts today, this afternoon, is to help us to be better parents, help us to be better grandparents, and also to help us to be better friends in all of our relationships. So it really is a series for everybody. And it's based on DVD series produced by Strong Families. And the founder is Dr. John Prince, and he's the author of a book titled Blessing, if any of you are familiar with that. But Alan Stout will be leading that starting this afternoon. We hope you'll all come out and be a part of that. Also, I'll let you know that we'll be having Rock City Wednesday night, but this Wednesday night is the beginning of the Lenten season. So we'll be having a special service here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock. And, you know, we talked last week about how we'd like for everyone to consider as the thing they give up for Lent, that it would be a portion of extra time above and beyond what we already give to the Lord, just for the purpose of praying for ourselves, our families, our church, and our community. Those that we care for, and that we would pray for God's outpouring of His Spirit. We would pray that we would truly be consecrated unto Him, and that this time, this 40-day time, would be a true time of renewal. So, come out Wednesday night for that service, 7 o'clock.
Any other announcements?
Just for the parents and grandparents, the girls age. From 4 through 12, a reminder, we have our first gathering today for Virtue Girls Club, making Valentine cookies, Valentine cards, taking them and sending to those who need a reminder of God's love. So you're both welcome to come. 22 p.m.
And session meets tonight. The Evangelism Committee, Evangelism Missions, will be meeting directly after the service.
Session meeting at 6. If you will, please register your attendance in the books that are in the pews so we can get a good count. Okay. If there are not any more announcements, let's bow our heads for a moment of silence to prepare our hearts and our minds for worshiping the Lord as we light our candles. Amen. Do we have any prayer or praise requests this morning?
We pray for him and Ronnie and Flip had the flu and he's recovering from that. And of course, I don't know if anybody knows about Ronnie. He passed a kidney stone on Friday, so he checked himself into the hospital and she couldn't even go get him or anything like that. So they had a rough time.
And prayers for his job too.
Yeah, and the whole situation. Yeah.
The Leapers are in West Tennessee. Fran's sister, May Summers, passed away, and so they're in West Tennessee for the funeral. They called yesterday and said they wouldn't be here today because they were headed that direction. So let's keep them in prayer.
Yeah, I have a girlfriend and former coworker, Emily Bridge. She passed away Wednesday. She had been battling cancer for the past 7 years. She was only 40 years old. Just be with her children. She leaves behind some teenagers.
This is Brian for my nephew, Jason Matheny. He passed away last week when he had his motorcycle wreck last year. That he has had a traumatic brain injury. He didn't go into seizures at any time. And he tried to go back to work, but he's unable to do that because when he tried to do the job,
any others?
I just wanted to ask everyone to pray for my parents. They will be here Friday. They're moving, so you pray extra hard for David. My mom's acting crazy, and that's also a praise. So I'm glad they're coming back. So. And then I would also ask for you to pray for Tyler's dad and just, you know, Justin in our house. So.
Yes, Ben.
I'd like to pray for me and my family. I am
we're just struggling a lot right now. And I have some job changes that are potentially coming in a positive way, which is, I just need prayers and support and just uplifting right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry. Thank you.
If you'll please write your prayer request on a few cards so we can make sure that all the names get into our bulletin each week. If we don't have any others.
Okay. Andy, would just come up here a minute. We're just going to pray for you. And those who want to come and get around her and pray for prayer can come. Father, we just thank you for Andy and for Joshua. And Lord, we just come to you now. In the name of Jesus. And we just ask, Lord God, for your wisdom in their lives. We ask you, Lord God, give them direction and understanding. Let your peace just be abundant in them and giving them direction and understanding. Help them, Lord, with the issues of life that seem to be bombarding them at this time. And Lord, we pray that you would just bring that peace that passes understanding in the midst of trouble. And Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would lead and guide in every direction and show yourself strong on their behalf. That they would just know that things are going to be okay. And Lord, we pray, Father God, that your help would be mightily available for her in every way. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer once again. Father, we come to you now, and for all the requests that have been lifted up this morning, for those that are on our prayer list, our long-term list, we continue to ask, Lord, for help in their lives, for your power to comfort and to bring healing. And Lord, we thank you that you are the one that redeems our life from destruction and that you have given us all the benefits of the new covenant in Christ Jesus. Lord, may we grow in you. May we be encouraged in you. And in this hour, may our hearts be open to receive your word implanted. Father, may we open ourselves up as we worship you, as we declare your praise, as we sing to you. Lord, as we bow ourselves before you, have your way in our life today. And we give you the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Now, Lord, help us to pray together this prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'll please stand for a call to worship. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks,
give thanks to him.
Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Open up your hymnals to page 74. We're going to sing Majesty.
Thank you.
call to confession. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you for your transgressions. Our prayer of confession is in silence. Amen. Our words of assurance. If I should say, my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolation delight my soul.
Yeah.
Words of blessing. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. If our ushers would please come forward.
So let this road, like an endless stream flowing through my life to the poor and weak. Let the things I do and the words I speak reveal the awesome love you have shown to me.
Let my life be like a love song. Let my life be like a love song.
Let my life be like a love song.
Let my life be like a love song. Let my life be like a love song. Let my life be like a love song
to your heart.
Let my life be like a love song. 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 Let my life be like a love song.
It's now children's time, so if the children would come up with Miss Mary Jo.
Christmas stamp.
And baby Jesus.
So I thought, to remind everyone that the love of Jesus. He has the greatest love of all for us because his Father sent him to us and he died on the cross for us. He gave us the greatest gift of love for all. And one of my new Valentines says, love puts a twinkle in your eye and a smile in your heart. And I open it up and I find written in it a special love verse, scripture. 1 John, and we've been studying 1 John in our Bible study. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us.
Amen.
So you remember that Jesus is the best Valentine we have. And the best Valentine we can give is the love of Jesus. Okay? Ready for a song? We got a love song?
Lots of love songs.
And they both reach out like this, and they're like. So, I don't know. Just that's great. But this love, this is what we're going to talk about it today. Really, the subject of this sermon today has to do with peace. But everything about the peace of God has to do with his great love for us.
So let's go to the scripture this morning in Judges chapter 6, verses 22 through 24. The scripture says, "When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' And the Lord said to him, 'Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die.' And then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, 'The Lord is Peace.'" Really, to grasp that scripture in its fullness, we need to think about what happened before then that caused Gideon to really understand that this was the angel of the Lord. See, Israel had been going through a period of unfaithfulness, and because of their unfaithfulness, the Midianites had come against them, and they had grown very fearful of the Midianites. They had moved to the hill country, into the mountains, and were hiding in caves, and basically just afraid. And this was really the kind of atmosphere that was prevalent throughout all of Israel. And so one day, well, part of the problem was that the Midianites had not really carried all of them off to bondage, but rather they were coming in and infiltrating the land of Israel, and they were stealing all their goods. They were the Israelites would work to plant the fields, and they would raise a great harvest, and then the Midianites would just come in and either steal it or destroy it. Their animals would be giving birth, and they'd be raising these great herds, and the Midianites would just come in and steal their herds and take them back to their land. And the Israelites were afraid. They didn't know what to do. This was all because of their unfaithfulness. But then the Lord, this angel of the Lord, shows up at the place where Midian is. The place where Gideon is. Gideon was working. He was working in the wine press, and he was beating the wheat. He was thrashing it, I guess, and trying to get all the kernels of wheat. And so, as he was doing that work, he was doing it in the wine press as a way of hiding from the Midianites, so that they wouldn't be able to take the plunder. And it was really, again, I mean, it was a good thing to do. I mean, he was trying to provide for his family, but it was all out of fear. So then he notices this angel. An angel is under the oak tree over in the distance, and the angel approaches him, and they begin to have a conversation. And the angel of the Lord says to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." And I'm not sure that Gideon really understood the part about the warrior yet. That wasn't really what caught his ear. What caught his ear was that he said, "The Lord is with you," and he started asking why. He started asking, "Where have you been?" I mean, we tell of all the great acts of God as he delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of Egypt, and yet here we are suffering at the hands of the Midianites, and where have you been with those wonderful miracles? And so he's questioning this and wondering, really, if this is a word from the Lord, if this really is an angel. He's never seen the hand of God move in a mighty way. So the angel says, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" And so he has a mandate from this angel to go and be the deliverer of the children of Israel from the hands of Midian. And that he's going to be with him. That he's a valiant warrior. And his next question is, very much like that of Moses, how do I know that you're going to do this? How do I know that I could possibly be the deliverer of the Israelites? And so the angel says, "Surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. And so in response to that, Gideon says, wait here. Wait, don't leave until I get back. He says, I'll be here under the oak tree. And so Gideon goes and prepares a meal. He prepares the meat and he prepares the gravy and he prepares the unleavened bread and he brings it back to where the angel of the Lord is under the oak tree. And the angel of the Lord tells him to place it on the rock. And he places it on the rock. The meat, the gravy, the unleavened bread. And the angel reaches out and touches the rock, or touches the food with his staff. And the rock goes up in flames and burns up the whole meal. And at that point, that's when Gideon says, now I know that you're the angel of the Lord. Now I know that you are the one that is from God. And so, as a result of that, verse 24 says, then Gideon built an altar there in the place and named it, the Lord is peace. Yahweh is peace. The question is, why did he name it, the Lord is peace? What was his thinking in that? I'm looking at this and I at first, you know, I'm thinking, well, okay, the angel Lord has told him that he's going to be a mighty warrior, that as one man, he is going to be responsible for delivering Israel from the Midianites. And so therefore, that could be something that would produce peace in him. Just the idea that he's going to be able to do this mighty feat by the strength of the Lord. And I'm sure that's part of it. But as you read the story, you find out that there are plenty of moments yet where Gideon is still afraid. He still needs further confirmation from the Lord. Still wanting to know exactly how he's going to do this. And God proves himself in so many ways to Gideon. But the important thing for us to see here is that I think the reason that he named the place, that he built the altar and named it God is peace, is because he recognized that that's something we haven't ever experienced. We've been in this land of turmoil and frustration and fear and hiding out and not being able to prosper and to go about and enjoy life as we should. They've been under an indictment, if you will. They've been under attack. Sometimes we feel like that. We feel like we're under attack. And in the midst of this, he realizes God is about to deliver us. The angel has proved to me that he really is from the Lord, and the word of the Lord is that he's going to deliver us. We are going to be in a place of peace. Once again, God is the God of peace. Now, that's something to get excited about. It hadn't happened yet. There are many days yet before they'll be able to really celebrate the true reality that the enemy is gone. They're never going to be a problem again. But that day's coming, and he declares it now. He builds that altar of rocks, and he says, the Lord is peace. And he didn't build that altar to just name it. He built it to worship. He built it because he was giving glory to God because he is the God who promises peace. And that peace has come to us. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. And it says this, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, says that we've been reconciled through him to reconcile all things to himself. Having peace through the blood of his cross. It was that supreme sacrifice of love. The Lord God laying down his life. God sending his only Son. The Son willingly laying down his life. Going through ridicule and shame and experiencing the worst torture of anything that could possibly be imagined. And not only was he experiencing a human torture that could be administered, but he was carrying the weight and the burden of the sins of the whole world. Past, present, future. That's a lot of weight. And it was through that pain and that suffering, it was in all of that turmoil and strife, that he was securing our peace. He paid the price so that we could experience peace. And we ask, well, how is it that we experience that peace? Well, we experience it on a lot of different levels, but one is that we are no longer alien to God. We are no longer a hostile where it concerns Him. We're not His enemies, but rather we are His children. We are His friends. We've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. We've been reconciled in where it concerns our relationships. Our relationship with Him and our ability to have a relationship with others. As Mary Jo said today, we now, because of the love of Jesus, we have the ability to love like we never could have loved before. To be able to respond with the love of God Almighty shed abroad in our hearts. Let's continue to read this scripture. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless beyond reproach. Now, what we've been talking about the past few weeks is the name of God and how we can hallow him. And the first name that we looked at was how God was revealed in Scripture as the Lord our righteousness. He wants to present us before himself blameless. The second name we looked at was the Lord who sanctifies. He wants to present us before himself holy. And now we find out that it is through the sacrifice of Christ and the peace that he has brought into our life that we can truly experience what it means to be blameless and holy. What it means to be righteous and sanctified. Those things are at work in us because God has brought peace into our life through Jesus. The peace of God is so much more powerful than this. I can remember back in the 70s, early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. You just throw your hand, peace, brother. Peace, man. And, man, that's... And what it really meant was, hi. Or, I'm not going to hurt you, you don't hurt me. Or just passing by, just passing through. I'm acknowledging you. That's not peace. That's not the peace of God. The peace of God is a powerful force that has been enacted in our lives through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His horrible, gruesome death on Calvary. It took an awful act of violence to secure our peace, to bring peace in our lives. And our God was willing to go through that on our behalf. He didn't have to. He could have just destroyed us all and gave us exactly what we deserved and started over. But it was always His intention that Jesus would be that sacrifice. That His Son would come and He would demonstrate His love for us. Now, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Says this, but He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising of our well-being, the chastising for our peace fell upon Him. And by His scourging, we are healed. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. Healed. Healed. I think that that means healed in every way, but especially in the sense of our relationship with God and our ability to have relationship with others. Our ability to love God and to love God through loving others. And that's not always an easy thing for us. But there's something about giving of ourselves, of putting our trust and our faith in Him. Man, it wasn't easy for Jesus to go to the cross. We know that. We know how He spent that time in the garden. And He had to deal with His own flesh. His flesh was fighting against it. But He was willing to go all the way. And so He calls us to come into that place of peace with Him and that place of peace with others. To just lay down the hostility and let it go. It's no more. It has no power in our life. Ephesians 2:14 says, He is our peace. That He Himself has become our peace. Romans 14:17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we pray every week, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done here on earth just the way it is in heaven. Let the righteousness and the peace and the joy in the Holy Spirit that's being experienced in heaven become a reality here on this earth. Let it become a reality in our lives. May we know that peace that passes all understanding. And we do. I can remember, I can look back on times in my life. And I can remember some really good times. I can remember some really fun times. I can remember some vacations that were just, man, out of this world fun. And I can remember some funny things. And I can recall a bunch of events that you just have to laugh at me. If I were to tell you. But the events that I remember that mean the most to me are when I was going are the times when I was going through trouble. And yet I can remember that even in the midst of doubts and worries, that there was this abiding peace that was always with me, and I knew that I knew that I knew that there was nothing to worry about. Was going to guide me through. Man, now that is peace. It's a peace that you can't symbolize with hand gestures. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's hard to really explain the peace of God because it goes so far beyond what we can understand, what we can comprehend with our mind. It's His constant abiding presence. that He's always with us, and He has promised us that He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us. And we find that that peace is directly related to the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God has deposited His Spirit within us. And that's why we are able to say, God has never forsaken me. He's never left me alone. Because when there was no one else around, when no one else would stand with me, the Holy Spirit was there inside me, comforting me, strengthening me, guiding me. And that's exactly what Gideon was experiencing. The Holy Spirit was there. The presence of God was in him for that time, and he was experiencing that. He was beginning to understand. There were times when he would act in such a way, you'd think, man, it seems like he's still scared. But then the scripture would say the Holy Spirit would come upon him. The Spirit would come upon him, and he would go in the strength of the Lord. And he would lead that army. Hallelujah. An army of 300. To victory over the Midianites. First Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24 says this: May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May the God of peace sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved completely, without blame, at the coming of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. Man, it almost sounds like the words that He spoke to Gideon. I'll bring it to pass. I'm going to take you through a process of coming completely mine, spirit, soul, and body. I'm at work in you, and I'm not letting you go. One of the aspects of this peace of God that's at work in us is that we are children, and because we're children, we understand that God is concerned about everything going on in our life. Just like a dad or a mom disciplines their children, God disciplines us. And we know we're loved because of it. But we need to understand that He's not taking a passive role in our life at any moment or any time. He says in the scripture that He's at work in us to sanctify us. And He's going to bring it to pass. Man, sometimes we think maybe the Lord's not watching, or the Lord's not concerned, or what's going on in our life doesn't really matter. But it does. He cares about you infinitely and complete in every area of your life. And His abiding presence is there to keep us. And it's also there to continue to minister His peace to us. Even in times when we don't understand. Even in times when we don't understand maybe what's going on, but we definitely don't understand, where's this peace coming from? Presence of the Holy Spirit. So we have to ask ourselves, as musicians come, as we prepare to sing this closing hymn, as we open this altar for a time of invitation and for a time of ministry, I love it when we have opportunity to minister to people. Thank the Lord for angels. Just speaking out of everything that's going on in their life and asking for prayer. But it may be here today that we've had questions, maybe much like Gideon, and we've wondered where God is, or we've wondered about certain things that are going on in our lives and the lives of our loved ones. God speaks to us, and He may be speaking to you today. I don't know how He speaks to each and every one of us, but I know a lot of times people tell me how much they enjoyed the sermon at the end, and they'll say, I liked it when you said this. And I'm thinking, I didn't say that. But the Holy Spirit knows how to speak to people's hearts. The thing is that we really want to walk in that peace.
had to face the conflict. Now, the Holy Spirit is dealing with us today. And however He's speaking to you, and as often as He speaks to you, and wherever you are when He does, obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You'll never be disappointed. Because He's trying to lead you into His righteousness, into His peace, and into the joy that you can experience through the Holy Spirit. It's part of being a child of His kingdom. So I invite you to respond to this invitation. And if there's someone here you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we'd love to have the opportunity to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus, to His love and to His peace that will totally transform our lives. Let us stand with us.
Hymn number 428, I Need Thee Every Hour.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Oh, tender voice of Thine, and ease of woe.
Ladies want to sign that thing. Don't think there's a limited number of 30 people going. You can keep signing up.